Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, text number 18. Right. Okay, please repeat. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuni Cha Eva Svapake Cha Panditaha Samadarshinaha Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuniche Vasva Pake Cha Pandita Samadharshina Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuniche Vashvapakacha Pandita Samadharshina Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuniche Vashvapakacha Pandita Samadharshina Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuniche Vashvapake Cha Pandita Samadarshina. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuniche Vashvapake Cha Pandita Samadharshina. Please chant. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuniche Vasvapake Cha Pandita Samadarshinaha Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gai Vihastini Shuniche Vasvapake Cha Pandita Samadarshina. Would you like to try? Please? Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gai Vihastini Suniche Vasvapake Cha Pandita Samadharshina. Would you like to try, bro? Okay. Please repeat. Vidya, with education, Vinaya, and gentleness, Sampane, fully equipped, Brahmane, in the Brahmana, Gavi, in the cow, Hastini, in the elephant, Shuni, in the dog, Cha and Eva, certainly. Shvapake, in the dog eater. the outcast, cha, respectively, panditaha, those who are wise, samadharshinaha, who see with equal vision. Translation. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. Purport. A Krishna-conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. The brahmana and the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species, but these differences of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme, for the Supreme Lord, by his plenary portion as Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone because he treats every living being as a friend, yet maintains himself as Paramatma regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. The Lord as Paramatma is present both in the outcast and in the brahmana, although the body of a brahmana and that of an outcast are not the same. The bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature, but the soul and the supersoul within the body are of the same spiritual quality. The similarity in the quality of the soul and the supersoul, however, does not make them equal in quantity, for the individual soul is present only in that particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present in each and every body. A Krishna-conscious person has full knowledge of this, and therefore he is truly learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of the soul and supersoul are that they are both conscious, eternal, and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the supersoul is conscious of all bodies. The supersoul is present in all bodies without distinction. Om agyanati mrandasya gananjana salakya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhistang stapitang yena bhutle svayang rupakadamayang dadati svapanantikang vandehang sri guru sri yuta parakamalang sri gurun vaishnavangscha sri rupang sagrajatam sagana raganatang vitang tang sajivang sadvetang savadutang parichana saitang krishna chaitanya devang sri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita sri vishakan vitangscha hey krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate gopisha gopika kanta radha kanta namosute tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavanishwari vrishabhanu sutadevi pranamami haripriye vanshakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhyaye bacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhadar Sivasadi Ghora Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vicha Vinaya Sampane, Brahmane Gaivi Hastini, Suniceva Svapakecha, Pandita Samadharshina. So this is a very famous verse, and this is a verse that you should actually learn. At least the last sentence you should know, Pandita Samadarshina. The pandit, perhaps you heard of this word, so many pandits, they have Samadarshina. This word maybe also heard, Darshan. In ISKCON we use this word many times. Take Darshan of the Guru. Darshan means to see. And Sama means equal, like same. Same. Samadarshina, equal seeing, equal vision. Pandit, the pandit sees with equal vision. And then you get this whole list. Brahmana, Gaivi. Gaivi is easy. Same like cow. and then Hastini. Hastini is a little bit, I'm a little bit speculating, it was a little bit like the sound of the elephant, you know? He has this, kind of makes a sound like Hastini. Maybe it's like that, I'm not sure. Hastini Suni, this is the dog, and then Swapake, the dog eater, or Prabhupada here calls him the outcast. Because in Vedic culture, nobody eats meat, really. I mean, they do, but they are not considered human beings. The human beings are considered the Sudras, the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, and the Brahmanas. Or in other words, the working class, the economical class, or the farmers, the government, or political class, and like the police, and then the intellectual class, or the priestly class. So those four are part of human society, and everything that is below that are considered not a part of human society, and sometimes is referred to as two-legged animals. But here, Prabhupada, or Krishna, describes the Krishna conscious person. We've been talking this whole chapter, actually, about that the soul is not doing anything, and also about the super soul. And now it becomes actually more clear. Yeah, so actually, Krishna actually gave us the philosophy in the previous verses. Yeah, like I said yesterday also, this is a difficult one, that is the number 15. The Lord does not assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. So that is difficult because many people, like for instance after World War II, many people became atheists because so many mothers, they lost their children. So they were all praying, please protect my child. And at the end of the war, their children were dead. So then they lost their faith. Because they felt that God is responsible. But this is not the case. God is not responsible. Although that doesn't mean it's not good to pray. And praying does help. But ultimately, we have... Like the government is not responsible for the murderer. Murdering. The fact that somebody kills somebody doesn't make the government directly responsible. I mean, in one sense, you could say they are, because it's bad government if people start killing each other. But in another sense, it's just an example. It's maybe not the best example, but if the government puts that person to death, you can't say that they're responsible for that. He killed the person, and that is his responsibility, and the government's responsibility is to punish that person. It's not very difficult to understand. So you can't. And it's the same example is sometimes given in the army. The soldier can kill someone, and then he gets a medal. But if that same person, he comes out of the army, and then he kills his neighbor, then he goes to jail. So, when he kills the enemy, then he's not responsible because he's ordered like that. But when he does it on his own accord, then he is responsible. So similarly, the government, which is in this case a better example, but I'm just giving you the principle of how it works, that the government is not responsible for the people's sinful actions. I mean, maybe indirectly they are. Indirectly you could say this is a bad government. Like if there's lawlessness, then you could say this is a bad government, and then you're correct. But still, directly, you cannot hold a judge responsible for somebody that killed somebody or many people. Then the judge gives the order, this man should be put to jail, or this man or woman should be killed. And then you cannot hold the judge responsible for that. The person was killing. That was his own fault. So similarly, when people die, then the understanding is that they have done so much killing in previous lives. That is generally how the understanding is. Or we don't know what they did, but some other, the fact that they end their lives prematurely, it has to do with previous actions that they did. So that might be many previous lives. We don't know what we did in the previous life. So So, but we have to try to understand that it's just. Anyway, it's just a side point. Yeah, so then Krishna goes on to say that, let me see, let me just try to follow the line here, 16. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then this knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up the daytime. Yeah, so Krishna says you should be fixed in me. And then today he explains what that person is if he's fixed on Krishna. And I spoke about it a little bit yesterday about the Paramatma. So here you, and there's a famous picture in the Bhagavad Gita that you see all these animals and this Brahmana and this so-called outcast. And then within their heart you see the super soul. So that is the vision of the Pandit, of the Krishna conscious person, the learned person. Because that I explained also yesterday, Plato, he very much made that distinction. He said, everybody needs discrimination. Nowadays, a little bit of a bad word, because when we say discrimination, we always think of a discrimination based on race, which is, well, I mean, it's as old as humanity, I guess. But what comes to mind is, for instance, the Second World War. Then this was very much done. And this is what we call bodily consciousness, that I am German, I am good, or Aryan, whatever you want to call it, and you are Jewish, and you are bad. This is based on the body. So, and that became disastrous, that whole idea. It plunged the whole world into disaster. So, but spiritual discrimination means, this is how Plato defined it, what is real and what is not real, or what is eternal and what is temporary. This is kind of the beginning of knowledge. And Plato defined it as you have the world that changes, that is this world, and then you have the world that never changes, that is the spiritual world. Of course, that doesn't mean there's no variety in the spiritual world. This is a little bit that what Plato didn't know, because you need information from Bhagavad Gita. He didn't have that. He was just figuring it out just by his intelligence, which is actually a very high level. He's called a jnani, a very wise person. So, but then you have to come to the next level, which we discussed yesterday, that you have to see also the difference between the soul and matter. Then it becomes a little bit more clear, because Plato very much elaborately discussed what is the soul. So then you start to understand what is the soul and what is matter. And then it becomes even more intricate. That is the knowledge we get from Bhagavad Gita, the difference between the soul and the super soul and matter. And that is what we're kind of, the example that is giving today. How that person who can do that, how he sees the world. A Krishna conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. So, you know, the fully Krishna, the fully realized soul, he really actually sees that. At least us, theoretically, we should understand that everybody actually is a spirit soul, and in that sense is equal. At the same time, we do need different so-called castes. You need somebody like a priestly class is somebody who's a little bit like anarchistic. He wants to be independent, and nobody tells him what to do. And he gives advice to the government, and he's independent. The way it was in the Vedic culture, he would live outside of the city in a small cottage, and he wouldn't take any money. In that way, he kept his independence. And the king would come to him for advice. There's one famous example, it's called Chanakya Pandit. And he advised this king, I forgot his name. But this king actually defeated Alexander the Great. He was practically undefeatable, or undefeated. Nobody could defeat him. He just went through Greece and Turkey and all these countries, and he defeated every single king until he came to this king. And it was because of this Chanakya Pandit. Because he gave this king advice how to defeat Alexander the Great, and that's where he was defeated in India. So that Chanakya Pandit, he was very staunch. He lived outside in a village or in a cottage, and the king wanted to give him a big house. He said no, he refused any money. So he was very staunch like that. So that, that, you know, you have persons like that, they're a little bit anarchistic, they, the truth is everything, and that is the Brahmana. Of course, he also needs to have the other qualities of cleanliness and, like I said, honesty, these kind of qualities. It's described in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You can read all these qualities about the Brahmana. And then you have the Kshatriya, you need a government, you need a police. There's always going to be bad people. You cannot just, you know, you can dream like that. The only place where there's no bad people is the spiritual world. So if you want to go to a place where there's no bad people and everything peace and love, you have to go to the spiritual world. But in the material world, it's basically criminals, because we want to enjoy independent from Krishna. We want to be the enjoyer. We want to be God, actually. So that always will have conflict. Like, you find some gold, and you say, this is my gold, and somebody else kills you. He says, no, I'm going to take this gold. So like that. So there will always be fighting. So therefore, you need the police. Police can protect you. If you have a lot of riches, there will always be thieves and murderers to take it off you. And then you need protection. You need a government. And then you need farmers. You need people to farm. You can't just say, let's all be a brahmana or all be in the government. You also need people to take care of the cows and grow vegetables and like that. And then you need people to serve everybody, like actors. Sometimes doctors are considered sudras, although, you know, generally doctors are actually, you know, like more like the priestly class. But nowadays, actually, doctors are a little bit like sudras. Because sudra means you just got a skill. Like, for instance, making shoes or making clothes, it's a skill. So similarly, the doctors also have a skill. They have like a brain surgeon, and he knows a little bit, you just cut like there and you cut like there. And it's a little bit like, you know, making shoes or making some, I don't know, some lamps or whatever. It's like a skill. But a real doctor, he can actually look at the person and say, you have to eat this, you shouldn't eat that, and you have to maybe do some exercise. That's a real doctor. Anyway, so just to explain to you that we do need these four social orders. At the same time, when we all serve Krishna, then we can understand that we're all spirit souls. And in that sense, we're all equal. Like the leg, you need it. You can't just start disrespecting the leg because it's lower. The head is more important. Everybody knows that. You can do without a leg. You can still live, but you cannot live without a head. Still, you know, you have to respect the legs, you have to respect the belly, you have to respect the hands, and similarly to respect the head. So it just has to work together. It's like one system. So the sudras are compared to the leg, vaisyas compared to the belly, kshatriyas to the hands, and the brahmanas to the head. Like that is explained. So it should be, if it all works, because nowadays the sudras are on top, or the vaisyas are on top. They're running the government. If you look at the politics, it's all about money. If you vote for me, then I'll give you this money. I make sure you get a house or this, that, like that. So, but there's no political party who says, if you vote for me, I'm going to make sure you're going to be God conscious. You're going to be a spiritual person. Nobody votes for a person like that, because everybody just wants to enjoy themselves. So that means it's topsy-turvy. That's why it's such a chaos. But if everything is in order, then everything will be very nice. And there will be also enjoyment. You know, if you just put the food into the belly, then, you know, you'll enjoy. So enjoyment is there, all these things are there, but it will be ultimately fixed on becoming spiritual, on becoming Krishna conscious. Okay. The brahmana and the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species, but the difference of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. Yeah, so this is really a very high level. Like, we can try and understand it. I'm trying to explain it in theory, but this person is actually realizing it. That's another level. Like, some devotee was telling me about some program he was watching on YouTube, that people were being tested, and there were different examples. Somebody would coming to a bakery and he was blind. This was then the actor, and then the other person behind the bakery was also an actor. He would just shortchange him. He would not give him enough money. And then if the blind person was a woman, then everybody would start to help the woman. But if he was a man, then nobody would help the man. So like that, the program was like the people would make distinction based on the outside. So at the same time, I'm trying to explain, you do need to make distinction to some extent, but ultimately that shouldn't be there. We should just look at what somebody does. And even if somebody does bad, then we should understand that they're still connected with Krishna. They're still servants of Krishna. So that is a very high level. Because this what Prabhupada says, this is due to their relationship to the Supreme. For the Supreme Lord, by His plenary portion as Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. So that's the amazing thing, that Krishna is in the heart of everybody, of the killer, of the hero, of the cow, the insect, everyone, every plant. Krishna is there in the heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned, in different castes or different species of life, Lord is equally kind to everyone because He treats every living being as a friend, yet maintains Himself as Paramatma regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. Yeah, so that was explained in previous verses. It's got nothing to do. An example that Prabhupada gave, I was just reading, he says, like the Ganga, there is a mango tree and there is a neem tree. Prabhupada says the neem tree is hellishly bitter, but the mango tree is divinely sweet, the fruits. But it's the same water. So it's just the trees have just different karma. So, but the Ganga is just flowing there, is not doing anything. It's the same examples with the government. So the Ganga is just flowing there, distributing her water freely. And one tree becomes very bitter and the other tree becomes very sweet. It's just because they have different karma. So, but the Lord is equal. The Lord as Paramatma is present both in the outcast and in the Brahmana, although the body of a Brahmana and that of an outcast are not the same. The bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature, but the soul and the super soul within the body are of the same spiritual quality. Yeah, so we really need to develop that vision. I stressed a little bit that there's different modes of nature. There's not enough time to really explain it more deeply, but I advise you to read the 18th chapter. And then you can ask questions later. But we need to transcend beyond that. That's actually what Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharma Prijagya, Mame Kamsaranam. Just transcend all these dharmas. All dharma actually means also designation. Don't get hung up on all these designation that this is a man, this is a woman, this is a friend, this is an enemy. You should just treat them equal. This is actually the Vedic culture. If an enemy comes to your house, he shouldn't know that he's an enemy. You can read it also in the Mahabharata. Arjuna would come to Duryodhana and he would ask him a favor. You once told me I could ask you a favor, and he said, yeah, I want those arrows. And Duryodhana knew that these arrows would be able to kill the Pandavas, but still he gave them. And this was like the bad guy. Duryodhana was the bad guy. And still he gave him the arrows because it was a politeness. He promised that he would ask him. He was in his house and he gave him the arrows. So, and they would dine together after battle, the whole day of battle, and then they would sometimes eat together. Sometimes you hear about it in Europe, but this was 5,000 years ago, and that is not really written down in history. But it was like that, the war. And generally when the king would die, finished. War was over. Not that every soldier had to die. And the king was in front. King would be fighting in front, generally. So, and if the king would die, then it was finished. War was over. On the one side there is distinctions, but we should really try and transcend it. The similarity in the quality of the soul and the super soul, however, does not make them equal. Yeah, so now Prabhupada explains about the difference between the soul and the super soul. So in quality, they're the same, eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. We can experience that if we become pure. And the super soul is also like that. That's what I was explaining yesterday, that the body of Krishna, it's similar to the body of the spirit soul, or the you could say building blocks, or whatever you want to call it, of the spirit soul. The building blocks of the spirit soul, I just explained, Sat Chit Ananda, Vigra. It has a form, Vigra, of eternality, knowledge and bliss. So that is the substance of the soul, and Krishna's body is made of that same substance. Our body is made of blood and bones. So there's a big difference. But the soul is similar. Of course, we can only be conscious of ourselves. It's very difficult actually to be conscious of another person. Sometimes another person is sick and we don't know. And then sometimes the person complains, "Don't you know that I'm sick?" Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. It's called Atmavan Manyate Jagat. We're sick and we think that everybody knows that we are sick. Or they say sometimes like a dog. Dogs, they think that everybody is a dog. So Atmavan Manyate Jagat. I think that the whole universe thinks like me. This is the material disease. But the more we become conscious, the more we can see oneness in variegatedness. We can see the soul, at the same time we can see the difference. This is the Vaishnava philosophy. Not that it's all one, that I'm trying to explain that. But we need to transcend that, so to speak. But it's based on love. It's based on love for Krishna. Then we can transcend it. And then it won't matter if there's a Shudra coming to our house, or a Brahmana, or even a dog eater. We will treat, or even a snake. Sometimes Prabhupada explains that his father was a cloth merchant, and he would put some grains for the rats so they wouldn't eat his cloths. So devotee is even kind to snakes. Although sometimes said devotee is very happy when snakes are killed because they're very envious. They sometimes bite people without warning. But you know, a devotee can even be nice to snakes. And sometimes you see people, like I watch many nature programs, and they are very enthusiastic about snakes. So we can even be nice to snakes. A Krishna conscious person has full knowledge of this, about the soul and the super soul, and therefore he is truly learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of the soul and the super soul are that they are both conscious, eternal and blissful. The difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the super soul is conscious of all bodies. Super soul is present in all bodies without distinction. So, little room for questions. Yes, please. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yeah, that is a very difficult question. So the question is, here we're learning about equal vision. At the same time, we see that in the spiritual world, Krishna reciprocates differently with different gopis. Some gopis are seemingly more favored than other gopis. So how should we understand that? I also want to ask that, Like we have this word utsahan, enthusiasm. So I ask, does utsahan means that we have to, that we try to become number one? Because that's kind of the material disease, let me become number one. And the idea is that we just do our best. And Kadama Karma has explained that some other, Radharani always comes out on top. She always comes out as number one. She's just the best cook. Everything she does is just the best. She's the best in everything. Best dresser. She's very chaste. So many qualities you can read on her in Nectar of Devotion. She's so many qualities. She's completely expert in everything. At the same time, she's very humble. She's always pushing other devotees forward. So Yeah, we just do our best. And sometimes they say it in America, you do your best and forget the rest. So Krishna explains it actually. Yeyatamam prapadyante tangsateva bhajamaya hang. Mama vartmanu vartante. Right? Then? Anyway, it means in American language we would say what goes around comes around. So as you surrender unto Krishna, he reciprocates. So the way I remember it, Prabhupada gives the example of the mother or the father, that he or she loves all the children. But some children are bad and some are good. So he reciprocates differently. To the bad child, sometimes the parent has to be strict. Or even worse, he has to ask him to leave the house because he or she has to protect the other children. That doesn't mean the parent, I mean, this is an example, eh? It's an example. So examples are always not completely, it's example about Krishna. So it doesn't mean that the parent doesn't love the child. If the child turns around and says, I'm sorry, then he can come back to the family. And if he changes his attitude. But the love, if there is a normal family structure, then the love from the parent, it will be there for the child. It will not be different from the other children. It's just that he has to act a little different because the child is acting different. So, yeah, I must say I also don't fully understand it. I think you can hear that. But the way I understand it is that the love is there. And that is kind of, in one sense, equal. But the way the person reciprocates, the parent, or in this case, Krishna, also has to reciprocate differently. But it's a difficult subject for most of us, because, you know, what I'm thinking now, basically we're impersonalists. And we have this tendency of thinking that everything is one, and we really, really love this. This is kind of the American dream, everybody's equal, and if you just work hard, then you can come on top of things. It's not really like that, actually. At the same time, we are equal. But there's also differences. So the ultimate point is, and that is actually why America is such a great country, is that you have to judge on what people do, on what they really are. I can give another example that I think Prabhupada tells a story. I'm not sure if it's from scripture, but it's a famous story. There's this guru and he has these disciples, and they're all, you know, very cultured disciples. Generally, you know, disciples are like that. They're learned from learned families. And so this boy comes and he wants to surrender to the spiritual master. And he says, I want to live in the ashram. And all the boys, they already could see that this is a poor boy and maybe not so smart. And then so the guru asked him, okay, you can come and live with us, but who are your parents? He says, well, I know my mother, she lives in there and this and that. But then who's your father? He says, well, I don't know my father. And then everybody started to laugh because it means that his mother was a prostitute. So then he asked, this guru asked him, so ask your mother, who's your father? So then he comes back and he says, well, she doesn't know. And then again they start to laugh. And then the guru actually tells this boy that you are actually really honest. You are a real brahmana. You're really qualified to become a disciple. And then immediately everybody stopped laughing because they could realize that the guru was very pleased with this disciple. So the guru, he was reciprocating on what the person was acting, because it was very difficult to say. He could have lied. Oh, no, my father is a very rich man. But he didn't lie. He was honest about his kind of bad situation. And the guru could really appreciate that. So he was judging the person on what he was doing, not on where he came from. So we have to kind of see it like that. And we accept everybody here. Everybody can come. In that sense, it's equal. But then we start judging a little bit on how people act. It's normal. But everybody is welcome. Doesn't matter who they are, they can come. And yeah, it's a big topic. We can think about it a little bit more, maybe discuss a little bit more tomorrow. We have to stop now. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Gurave Namaha.